Hi, this is Annette Simmons, and this is the Story Factor Podcast, Episode 15. I'll be, again, paraphrasing an interview that I had with Leah Tao, who was the creative director of The Moth for 10 years and has a lot to tell us about their creative process. And for me, I think a lot that we can learn about two completely different approaches to finding the story and crafting it.
Welcome to the Story Factor Podcast with Annette Simmons.
Story is the oldest form of influence in human history.
Annette is the author of The Story Factor, Territorial Games, and Whoever Tells the Best Story Wins.
When you stimulate human emotions with a story, you point those emotions in a certain direction.
Now Annette is here to help you inspire, influence, and persuade through the art of storytelling.
No one will complain if you substitute a story for a PowerPoint slide.
Notice I'm not using PowerPoint and there's no handouts. My goal is that this actually be valuable enough that you remember it.
And now your host, she says she has a sewing machine that is smarter than she is. Here's Annette Simmons.
Yep, I've had the sewing machine for maybe 8 years. And when I bought it, of course, I wanted to get the top of the line. I can do maybe 2 stitches on it. I mean, this thing should embroidery and all that sort of stuff. But right now I'm trying to make a costume for Mardi Gras. I've got a Mardi Gras. I'm going to ride a horse in a parade at a small town around here, Kichai. And then I'm going to go into a Mardi Gras ball. So I'm doing an Indian princess outfit. And I'm not quite sure how it's going to turn out, but it'll be fun. So you're here to listen to me talk about storytelling. You're really here to listen to what Leah Tao has to say about storytelling. I did a long interview with her. She was the creative director of The Moth for over 10 years, and it was just a fascinating interview. Now, if you remember from last podcast, she was not impressed with my sound editing style. So this time I will again summarize in my voice the conversation that we had. And I'll do the best I can. I think that she had some really interesting things to say. One of the things that's different about The Moth, of course, is that people are making submissions of their stories. Now, when you and I need a story, we go looking for it. Even if you're working with a client in brand storytelling, you need to investigate and research what our story really is. In their circumstance, they've got an inbox full of stories, and they pick and choose which ones they think will make the best performance piece. And she talked about how they had made popular the kind of anti-hero story. If you remember last week, I was talking about how, you know, she said people don't know the core of their own story. They don't understand that there's a dark side always, as well as a light side. And you may remember, she said, you know, at some point, the storyteller needs to seem almost despicable to the audience. They're looking for contrast there, a very theatrical point of view with a story is that we are both wonderful and awful. And they make sure that they find a story that has that in it and that the teller begins to face some sort of deeper truth so that the insight that comes from the story is fresh and raw and people feel connected to it. Now, when they're looking for that, they're finding out what is at stake. That's the big question that they ask themselves and they ask the storyteller. What's at stake here? So we talked about, I think, her example of a guy jumping out of a plane with a parachute. And she points out that it could be all about trying to impress his military father that never showed approval. It could be that he's in the middle of a divorce and he's just trying to do something crazy to feel alive again. There are different points of view, and the story will be told differently based on what's at stake. So your core identity might be at stake if you are still trying to prove yourself to your dad. The idea that you both know who you are and still don't know who you are. And zeroing in on that deeper core truth begins to make a story that has a dramatic conflict, that has this arc that many storytellers talk about, a narrative arc. And many times the stories, personal stories that I help people tell, aren't quite that dramatic. They don't quite go that high and that low. But with the moth stories, I think if you've been watching them, you realize that there is quite a lot of drama in the way that they're told. Now, when we talked about detail, I asked her about, you know, we talk about how you want the see, hear, smell, taste, touch detail to create a vicarious experience. And it's that detail that puts someone into the story so that they're reliving it in their imagination or living it in the future in their imagination. And she had something really good to say, which was that all of these visceral details, you can have too much. And which ones do you take out? Which ones do you put in? It seems simple when I say it, but it's only the details that support the narrative. And so we go back to the guy jumping out of the plane. Then if you're talking about details that support the narrative of this tug of war this man might have with his father's approval, then perhaps the kind of boots that he wears, the fact that they were the same kind his dad wears, that's a relevant detail. If we talk about the point of view of him jumping out of the airplane because the marriage isn't going well, perhaps putting on his wedding ring or taking off his wedding ring for a safety reason, that's one of the details that you want to put in. So it must have to do not only with what happened, because you could go endlessly with detail on that, but what it meant about what happened. Does this detail matter? Because we can do what we know works. And I think what's happened for me in listening to Leah and how she goes about finding coaching stories is going back to the drama. And once you have a core story that you know communicates your core message, there's no reason not to become the theatrical director and look at the story again through the eyes of how much drama is there. One of the things I like that Leah said is that we can come up with all of the different structures and principles and kinds of stories we want to, but at the end of the day, it's not a checklist. Finding a story, crafting the story, looking at your audience point of view, and then going back to the story to make sure that their point of view and your point of view can come together, that's a process, not a checklist. Leah and I also talked about storytelling in business situations. She's worked with Google, Nike, and others in teaching them the principles of storytelling. She says not so much teaching them how to tell stories, personal stories or any other kind, but how to use the dynamics and principles of story to frame things like a new HR initiative, a marketing plan, or a presentation. Leah believes with business storytelling, you start with your audience first and try to figure out what is at stake for the audience. She recommends that you think about who is going to be here. What is it that they care about? How can I take my genuine core of the story and make it matter to them? With the moth, there's a story and you go deep and find out what the personal meaning, what personal stakes are at play in this story. Then she suggests that people distance themselves and then ask the question, why would anybody care to listen to this story? So the process for her is backwards when you look at business stories. She mentions that in a business setting that you obviously have an agenda, you know what you're trying to achieve, and that your audience knows you have an agenda, and it's a totally different dynamic. One of the things she mentioned, and that I know for sure, is that in community storytelling, It is a very loving audience. They know that it's scary to get up there, and they know that you're being vulnerable and sharing a story. And so in my experience in creating storytelling shows, and you can feel it, I've been to some Moth events, and probably events that you've been to, certainly the Storytelling Festival, you just have the best audience in the world. They're rooting for you. They want you to do well. In business, of course, it is different. I'm not sure I'd agree that you start with the audience. I think that for me, you start with who you are and why you're here, and you go back and forth. But it is a good distinction to make that it's not just about your deep personal story. In business, it is about what the audience wants and how you can deliver. She really recommends that every story you tell be reduced down in your mind to one sentence, what that story is about. And she talks about staying up late at night with different editing options, trying to decide for herself what stories are about. Leah is now producing a radio show from KCRW, NPR affiliate in Los Angeles, called Strangers. And she says that she's completely changed the process, whereby there are some great stories from people who wouldn't necessarily be willing to get up on stage or may not be able to pull that off. And she prefers now to go and edit hours and hours of taped interviews. So she said that at one point she has certainly done a 20-minute show from, I'm looking at my notes, 10 to 20 hours. For a 20-minute show. That's some tight editing. And she rarely has less than 5 hours for a 20-minute show. Now, these are great podcasts. You can find them just by Googling KCRW and the name of the show, which is Strangers. Leah also has a website, storycentral.org. But let's go back to what she was talking about. Now, if you think about it, for 10 years, what she did is she took people who had stories and coached them for hours and hours and hours. That's a direct quote. Hours and hours and hours. And reviewing from the last time we talked, it's a critical process where she's really pushing someone to get to that deeper meaning. What is the internal conflict? And that the character, the narrator, first person narrator of the story, at some point goes dark, really dark, and light. So that this story, whatever's at stake, you can see kind of how far they would go. And then you also ideally see, you know, what the benefit and the payoff is. That was hours and hours spent with a person going over their story over and over, asking them questions, giving them suggestions. But now what she does is she goes and interviews people and she just lets them talk. She says sometimes that she interviews them and asks them questions, has them answer questions. And most of the time she edits herself out. And so she's creating it so this person is narrating their own story, except they talked for 5 hours and she's edited their words down to a 20-minute segment. I think it's important for us to realize that the stories we see on The Moth have taken enormous amount of time, and there's been a whole lot of material that's both created, pulled out of the storyteller, and then 90% of it chopped away in order to create this story. We don't have time to do that in business storytelling. And yet, if we start to pay attention to the fact that it's the upfront time that makes a story good, I think that people will understand that the preparation for our presentations, our stories, and all of that makes the story. One of the things that she said is she never waits until the 11th hour to put something together, that it's all about prepare, prepare, prepare. And when she's teaching business storytelling, she always recommends that they rehearse, that you find that core message. What is the core meaning of my story, be able to summarize it in one sentence. And all of that time, and this is me talking now, that doesn't look like real work. And yet it is real work because that's what makes our presentations good. I think that we can feel like we're doing real work when we're finding images and putting them into the PowerPoint, when we're clicking away and putting bullet points out. But finding coherence and meaning often looks like you're looking out the window and doing nothing, but your brain's working. So that's real work. I just want to put a plug in for that. You may have heard me say it before or read it if you've read any of my books. I believe thinking is real work and we don't do enough of it. Getting back to what Leah has to say, she thinks it's important to consider that in business, the context is always larger than you or I personally, and that the meaning of the story will have a bigger meaning than something that is simply personal. I think that's an interesting point of view. I'm not sure I can process all of that. I think that personal stories can be really powerful, and yet if I look at it her way, they're personally powerful and relevant in a bigger context. I ask her about, I've been doing some research with using storytelling in the legal setting, and great stuff. And I know also Nancy Duarte does this, but the legal storytelling, certainly for trial lawyers, one of the guys talked about how when you get out of your car, you begin telling people in the jury pool who you don't even know who they are, you're telling them what kind of person you are. Example that was given to me is that in a courthouse, there is a fast lane through security where lawyers and judges can go through and everybody else is standing in line. He always makes sure that he stands in line with everybody else rather than looking like a hotshot lawyer going through the fast lane. Nancy Duarte says the same thing by saying that your audience is the hero. In the legal sense, the jury is the hero. And this lawyer is trying to position himself as the helper, the mentor in a hero story. I asked her about using archetypes, and she said that she's not really that familiar and has not used any archetypes. And that by the fact that the moth is using these kind of anti-hero stories, where you're revealing something ugly at the same time about you or embarrassing about you at the same time you're telling a story that connects to the best of us, she said there's built-in stakes and that you don't need archetypes. I look at that in the same way that I say that if it's an experience that was meaningful to you, it'll be meaningful to somebody down the line. I think archetypes can help us by giving us something to look for when we're looking for stories, but they can also constrain us. And I was glad to hear that that hadn't been part of their storytelling process. It kind of validates for me that, you know, you don't have to have archetypes, or not all stories fit archetypes in order to be powerful. Certainly not on The Moth. Probably the central theme in Leah's current show, Strangers, is her idea that our entire idea of what friend or stranger means in this digital world, I think of all the people I have as Facebook friends, and that's not what I used to mean 10 years ago when I said friend. And what is a stranger? A Facebook friend that I haven't met yet? I really connected with what she was saying. So these stories that she's finding begin to explore this paradigm shift where we are redefining our relationships with each other. Editing came up again, and I liked what she said. Editing is about making choices. Like we talked about the guy jumping out of the plane, the story being framed by his dad or his marriage. She said the first rule is that what happened is not the story of what happened, and that these different details could include pieces, start at different places, and end at a different place based on what the core of your message is. When I asked Lee about her final thoughts, anything she wanted to add, she said, no one gets better without doing the work. So that's been valuable for me, and I hope it's been valuable for you. This is Annette Simmons, and I really appreciate your feedback from the last podcast. Everyone said, please keep doing it. Don't worry too much about the editing and audio values, although I'll have to admit I have uploaded some new software and I'm trying to learn how to use it. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with me, Annette@AnnetteSimmons.com, or you can call me directly at my office, 318-861-9224. My Twitter handle is @TheStoryFactor. And next week we'll be listening to what Madeline Blair has to say about storytelling. Madeline Blair probably was into storytelling before I was. We've been friends for over a decade, and our conversation was a lot of fun, and I'm learning some of the things that she's been making up over the last few years. She's a very creative person, very productive, and coming up with ideas and testing them. So there's some great ideas about facilitating and developing common understanding. She's got a new tool called the Two Voices, an essay in two voices, I think. Anyway, all that and more 2 weeks from now, February 19th, on the 16th episode of the Story Factor podcast. I haven't said it lately, but I really believe that if you improve your storytelling, you'll improve your life. Thanks for listening to the Story Factor podcast.